What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, David Drogenmeyer and John Kegley, back with us on today's show. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season. And now this is going on our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, a lot to get into on today's show. We really hope you enjoyed the running back prospect show yesterday. And on today's show, we are talking about an absolutely loaded group of wide receivers. So that's why we wanted to have John on today's show as well, so we could get to as many as possible. So we have 12 receivers we're going to be talking about on today's show. Actually, 13 receivers. One was a special request, so a lot to get into and a lot of guys we didn't get to get into. So in the second segment, we're going to be getting into the early round targets, guys the Chargers could potentially select in the top three rounds. And then in the last segment of the show, we're going to be getting into the later round guys. A lot of talent in the late round guys this year, so there's a lot to talk about there as well. But we're going to be starting with the news about the Chargers having a virtual meeting with Jalen Hurts, a different quarterback, another quarterback that is maybe not on some people's radar as a possibility for the Chargers. So we're going to start with that, but let's go ahead and get into it. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles Chargers were reported to meet another prospect via FaceTime, and this time it was with one of the most polarizing quarterbacks in the draft class. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogenmeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Ian Rapoport reported on Monday that two interesting teams who have been in touch and monitoring OU quarterback Jalen Hurts are the Packers and the Chargers. So, David, this is interesting because the Chargers have the sixth overall pick, and this is not a pick you would spend on Jalen Hurts. This is a guy that is more than likely going to go in the second or third round, but at the same time, it makes a lot of sense, especially with all of the comments we've heard from Anthony Lynn wanting a mobile quarterback. He is the best dual threat quarterback that is in this class, with the ability to throw and run the ball. And there's obviously some big weaknesses that we can talk about, but there are a lot of strengths, as well as just being a dynamic playmaker, being a winner, being a leader. There's a lot to like from Jalen Hurts. As far as what the Chargers value, what Anthony Lynn values, from that aspect, it makes sense for the Chargers to be interested in a quarterback like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you look at Jalen Hurts, and like you mentioned, he is definitely the best dual threat quarterback. And he would be going into a situation to where there's a mobile quarterback who's a veteran, who's worked in Anthony Lynn's system, a system built around a running quarterback. So it would allow Jalen Hurts to sit underneath Tyrod Taylor, learn the offense, learn how things go, learn how Anthony Lynn wants to operate things, and not have to worry about the pressure of having to perform right away. See it as like a redshirt year for the NFL, but he definitely has a lot of great things that he can offer. He's a dynamic runner. Just last year, he had almost 1,300 yards and 20 rushing touchdowns. And he's no slouch as a passer either. He threw for 3,800 yards and 32 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. So he's definitely got some physical gifts, but there's also some question marks as well.
There absolutely are, but you could see an offense from the Chargers, if they wanted to go this direction, having a quarterback draw, using some of the RPOs that we have seen so widely used throughout the NFL, and really tailoring their offense around him. Because I think for him and with his faults, this is a guy that if you want him to be successful in the NFL, you have to tailor your system to him. You can run those stretch zone plays you weren't able to run when you had Phillip Rivers. You can run a lot more play action, which you couldn't always do with Phillip Rivers. These are all things Tyrod Taylor is going to do this year. So for Shane Steichen, it's not that much of an evolution to the offense. He's already kind of building an offense similar to that right now. But with Jalen Hurts, it would have to be much more pronounced, because in Lincoln Riley's system last year, he lit it up with his arms. But there's definitely some places he has to work, especially at just being a pocket passer, having the poise in the pocket to make NFL throws, and just learning some of the nuances of the position. Because at the NFL level, there's going to be guys in your face all the time. You're going to be put into uncomfortable situations, and he's going to have to make good decisions when those opportunities present themselves to him. So, David, like you said, there's obvious drawbacks to him. And as much as you love the kind of athlete that you would be able to get with Jalen Hurts, as far as him throwing the football, there are some very legitimate question marks there.
with quarterbacks, you don't know exactly where they're going to go, but I mean, all the experts are saying that the sweet spot for him is probably in the second or third round. If you're able to get him in the third round, I think you're going to be able to live with some of the things that he's going to have to work on, like, you know, the inconsistent throws, the pocket awareness, not always making the smart play, always trying to kind of want more. And also just breaking the pocket too early. He's just very uncomfortable. It seems like he would go through his first read and then he looks to break it down and run or scramble. But those are things that with coaching could potentially be ironed out. And like I mentioned before, he's probably not going to be looking at starting right away. So definitely some drawbacks, some positives. But, you know, if you get him in the middle rounds, I think you might have something you can mold.
And I think the best word to describe him is just as an intriguing prospect, because you're right. If he could iron out some of those things, if he could be a more consistently accurate passer, because we saw a lot of throws behind wide receivers and we saw him throwing into big throwing lanes that you're not going to have in the NFL, and you're going to have to throw some highly contested balls into very small windows. So those are things we didn't necessarily see with him at Oklahoma, but that is the main issue. It's just the arm. It's keeping your eyes downfield if he wants to break the pocket, and we've seen some big playmaking ability for when the pocket breaks down and he can go out there and make something happen. But at the same time, you still have to stay disciplined. You still have to look downfield, try to make good plays, take checkdowns when they're there, not force anything. And that's one of the things you saw even in the Iowa State game from last season. He threw an interception late in the fourth quarter. These are things that at the next level, that is going to cost you the game. So I think for Tom Telesco, this could also be a smokescreen. This could be him trying to, if one of the quarterbacks we don't want falls to us at six, we are okay with waiting on quarterback and taking a chance on someone like Jalen Hurts. But if the Chargers did decide to go that direction with Jalen Hurts, it would be exciting. We'd have to see how the Chargers would try to implement him and if he can make it at the next level. But we do have two more segments to get into. We are talking about wide receivers today because the 2020 draft is coming up. So we're going to be getting into some early targets for the Chargers coming up right after this. All right, guys. So yesterday we got into how we felt about a lot of the running backs that are coming up in this draft class. But on today's show, we are switching it to receiver, which could be the most loaded position in this entire draft. There's some really good tackles as well, but that position group's a little bit top heavy. So I think that for this show, I mean, we have the most guys that we need to talk about, which is why all three of us are here. We have 12 guys that we are going to be getting into today. And I will also say, again, if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, we are not pretending to be draft experts, but the one thing I can tell you is we all watch film on these players, and we are just giving you the thoughts that we had while watching this film and talking about some of the guys that we like and maybe we don't think fit the Chargers system. So let's go ahead and get into wide receivers. We have our very special guest today, John Kegley, who I really wanted to get on this show because he definitely watches a ton of college football, and I really respect his opinion that he has on some of these guys. So John, when you're talking about the first receiver that you wanted to look at as a potential target for the Chargers in the early rounds, who did you go with?
I went with T. Higgins, the wide receiver out of Clemson. This is a guy who played all three positions of wide receiver. So I think that alone is a big step for the Chargers if they want to get their next wide receiver in their franchise. If Keenan Allen was to leave, you could move him over there. You could put him as your slot. There's a lot of things you can do with him just with that alone. He has this ability to change his speed during his routes, and that helps him get separation a lot. And that's really hard to do, to be able to control your speed like that in the middle of a route, to go from really fast and slow it down. That is a big get for the Chargers if they can get a guy that can change his speed to get open. That means he can just win any route combination on his own. And while doing that, he's been going up against weak competition. So that is one knock I have on him. Most of the corners he went up against were not the strongest competition that he could get. So could his change of speed be just a mirage? One thing that you cannot fault is that his run blocking was not that great. I don't think he's going to be your typical wide receiver that can block and catch the ball. So that's the big knock on him. It's his blocking is not that great. But route running, speed, catching the ball, high pointing the ball were all great.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. And I think a lot of the issues that people would take with this is that just, you know, a lot of the reason that people compare him to Mike Williams is because they both played at Clemson. Obviously, they have some different skill sets, but the Chargers have a jump ball receiver already with Mike Williams, but this guy is definitely a big playmaker. You'd have to take him more than likely in the second round if you wanted to use that pick, and that's the pick you've been using in your mock draft as well. So I get all of it. I mean, I could see why he could help the charge, and I could also see, you know, that he could be a little bit redundant with Mike Williams, even though I think he has a little bit more reliable hands and he's a little bit better at getting separation on intermediate routes than Mike Williams is. But I definitely see where you're going with for that pick. So, David, when you're talking about your first early round wide receiver, who'd you decide to go with?
So, my first early round guy was Denzel Mims out of Baylor, 6'3", 215 pounds. This guy has got a huge frame. Also, he provides blazing speed. 4.38 40. This guy can absolutely fly. His best years were 2017 and 2019, where he went over 1,000 yards both years. Also had a 17.8 yard average, which is insane. This guy definitely moves the ball down the football field. Some positives, some of the things I really liked that stood out to me were, you know, this guy's tough, man. He played a lot of the year with a broken bone in his foot. I love the way he catches the ball. He's a hand catcher. He definitely has long speed. He can win against contested catches. He can box defenders out, and he has really good balance as well. Some of the things I like to see him improve on was he's a little slow off the snap. You know, that's something I saw quite a bit. He doesn't really, you know, release well. I think he can definitely get better. He definitely is not a run blocker. He doesn't like doing it. You can tell he's very uninterested. I think he needs to continue working for his QB on some of the plays that might break down, and he also needs to secure the ball just a little bit better. But overall, Denzel Mims is a monster, and I would love the Chargers to pick him up.
Yeah, and unfortunately with Denzel Mims, I have a hard time believing, just because the hype train has gotten so out of control on him, that he might not even make it out of the first round at this point. But there's a lot to like. Obviously, he fills your need as that deep wide receiver while also giving you a threat in the red zone as well. So a lot to like from Denzel Mims, a really, truly big playmaker and a guy I would like to see for the Chargers, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be there. I mean, he was a third round pick when we first started talking about this guy, and to see how far it's come, I was like, I would love this guy in the third round. Now it's like, okay, now it's a first round pick, which the Chargers are not going to use on him at six. But getting into the first guy that I picked was Brandon Ayuk, because there's a, you know, a certain list of guys that can kind of all be mixed and matched at the top of it. And just like Ayuk, I mean, a lot of people have him ahead of Denzel Mims. A lot of people have him behind Denzel Mims. But I do think he would be a realistic option for the Chargers at 37. And to give you some of the things that he does well, I mean, you saw the return ability first things first. I mean, he would definitely step in and help your return game. Averaged 31.9 yards per kick return, according to Sports Reference. I saw him take two kickoff returns past the 50 when they were playing against USC. And I also saw him take a punt return back for a touchdown as well. So explosion in the return game, all of that stuff is a plus for him. So one of the things I love is just his ability to create after the catch. The Chargers don't really have a receiver that is really good with the ball in his hands outside of Austin Eckler, who's going to be playing running back most of the time. So I really like what he's able to do after the catch. He's an explosive playmaker that is going to pick up a lot of first downs, even if he gets it behind the sticks. Some of the things that you don't like when you watch Brandon Ayuk play is physical corners can stick with him. He's another guy that has a tough time getting off the line of scrimmage at times, like you talked about. We're talking about run defenders as well. There's not a lot of good run blocking wide receivers. I'll just go out there and say that. And another thing is, you're not going to get that physicality out of him. He's easily disrupted by contact in his route, and he made some nice contested catches, but that's definitely not his game, and he's not going to fit the Chargers' role of just a true deep threat, a burner, a guy that is going to continuously stretch the defense. That's not really what he's good at. So I like some other guys better for the Chargers at 37, but he's definitely an interesting prospect, to say the least. So let's get into our next round of guys. John, who was the second guy you decided to go with in a first three rounds receiver?
I went with KJ Hamler from Penn State, who was this really athletic, electric running wide receiver who could also do other stuff besides just run routes. He could be your jet sweep guy. You could do a lot with him, maybe wide receiver screen. There's a lot of things you could do with him. When he gets jammed, he actually does a good job with it. Even Jeff Okuda was jamming him, and Hamler was getting off of him. That's something to take note on. Yeah. There's also a really good ability to, with yards after the catch. This guy could be your highlight play, that Travis Benjamin type player that we were expecting out of Travis Benjamin. This could be it. But his routes are pretty sloppy. He tends to drift, in a lot of his routes. So those guys that do like the crossing route, you're supposed to go in a straight line across the field. He will tend to drift up the field, and that can ruin the route because he'll drift into the linebackers. And when he tries to track the ball in traffic, not that great. He loses traffic. He loses focus in traffic. And if he tries to catch the ball in traffic, it's not going to look good. But if you get this guy into space, kind of like Tyrell Williams was, you could have a playmaker
here. Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's one of those guys that will make defenders take really bad angles at him just because of his straight line speed. And it reminds me of Travis Benjamin just in the fact that he's not going to be the guy that is going to love contact. He's also not going to be the guy that necessarily is just going to line up outside and just blow at people away deep. He has that kind of speed, but I definitely had some issues with just, he looks a little bit uncomfortable when the ball's in the air on those deep routes. So that was something I didn't, you know, think was one of his strengths as far as tracking the ball on the deep balls. But as far as explosiveness, as far as, you know, creating separation just due to pure athleticism, he's another one of those guys. And another big concern with him is obviously just his slight frame. I mean, durability could potentially be a concern, only about 180 pounds. He's definitely one of the smaller guys, a more slight guy. So that's a concern going forward as well. So, David, who are you getting into next for your top three rounds receivers?
Well, a slight guy to a guy built like a linebacker, my guy is Laviska Shenault Jr., out of Colorado. And this guy, like I mentioned, he's just stout. He's 6'1", 227, legs like tree trunks. I mean, this guy is definitely does not look like a wide receiver, but that has helped him. I mean, in 2018, he was the only player in the country with 5 rushing touchdowns and 5 receiving touchdowns. So this guy can play. He's a physical receiver. He's played all over, inside, outside. He can run over people. He unfortunately suffered for some really bad quarterback play. I mean, just that's one big thing that was a theme throughout all of the games is their quarterback is not great and their offensive line is not great. He got sacked a lot and it definitely was a negative for Shenault Jr. I love the fact that he's good on, also he's good on the jet sweep. So that's another thing that kind of makes him a dynamic playmaker. He can help you in the run game. Like I mentioned, some of the things that are opportunities for him or some things that I just was a little uneasy about is his production slipped. You know, it kind of dipped instead of got better. You kind of wanted guys to build year after year. That's, you know, a concern. Durability was also an issue with him. He definitely missed games. He's not a polished route runner and another guy that just does not like to block.
Yeah, nobody likes to block, right? I mean, there's a couple guys that are better at it than others are, but Laviska Shenault, I mean, it's hard not to like the way that guy plays. One of the notes I had on him was just the most physical wide receiver with the ball in his hands in this draft class and can be devastating after the catch, either running through you or getting around you. And I saw one expert even compare him to Saquon Barkley. That's the kind of physical specimen this guy is. I mean, he could probably play running back in the league. He's an X-factor type, and I want the Chargers to add somebody like that. He's not going to be your true, you know, stretching the defense, but as far as big play ability, as far as explosiveness, being able to do things with the ball in your hand, I mean, there's not more guys I like than Laviska Shenault. But obviously for the Chargers, taking somebody with an extensive injury history is something that is going to give you a lot of pause. And that's, I mean, one of my main drawbacks is just like, it's hard to get your hopes up for a guy that is going to an even bigger, faster, more physical league the way that he plays, because physicality is such a part of what he does. It really worries me to see what is going to happen to him at the next level if he can stay healthy. But
although
not many
I would
more
like to see what he can do with a better QB, man.
I would love to see what he can do with a better QB. Definitely. But getting to my last guy that I have for the top three rounds, I mean, I think there's, you know, a few guys that we're just not going to talk about, like Henry Ruggs or some Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, all those guys. The Chargers probably aren't going receiver at the 6th pick. So we're going, you know, basically second round, the 37th pick and after, as far as how realistic the Chargers are to actually pick one of these guys. But I went with Michael Pittman Jr., and I liked a lot of what I saw. I think there is some redundancy with Mike Williams as far as he's not going to get a lot of separation in and out of his breaks. He's not going to get a lot of separation on deep balls, but I mean, there's not many guys that are better just catching deep balls than him. The way he tracks the ball, I think he's probably had my highest grade of you know, players tracking the ball when it's in the air. Michael Pittman Jr. And the other thing you love from him is just the physicality. Not just when he gets the ball and after the catch, I mean, lowering his shoulder and falling forward, but he's very physical in his routes. And that's kind of how he gains his separation, because he's not going to really do it with quickness. He does it with bodying up cornerbacks and not pushing off, but using his shoulder, using his arms as leverage to get open. And once he's open, he can really box guys out and use his big hands to his advantage. He's not going to fill the burner role, even though he is a deep threat. He's not the speed that is going to take the top off of defense. He isn't going to make a lot of people miss after the catch. He's not the yards after the catch guy. And I definitely want to see that, you know, from a guy that the Chargers pick out wide receiver. I want to see him take the top off the defense. I definitely want to see him be a playmaker in that point, but you're probably not going to get all of that in one player. And the other thing is he's not very quick off the line of scrimmage, and at times got kind of bodied by smaller corners that held him up off the line, which is not something that you like to see. You want him to get past that guy, especially with how physical the rest of his game is. And the other thing is he's a guy that has to, you know, build up to that acceleration. He's not 0-60. As far as a run blocking goes, there's not a lot of guys that are pretty good at it, but this guy actually seems like he really likes to do it, and he's physical and big enough to actually make an impact in that area. So I definitely like that. And John, you saw a lot of him, I'm sure, at USC. You watch a lot of college football. What were your takes on him?
I loved how well he was able to make contested catches, but no matter where he was, whether
one of the best,
whether he was deep, intermediate, or just a short route, he was making a contested catch. Even if he got hit, he was making that catch. I loved his run blocking. As you said, there's not many wide receivers in this draft that can do that. He is one of them, and I love that. He can work back to a lot of throws. Even a back shoulder throw, he works back to really, really well. This guy goes to the ball.
That's also, he's going to fight for it too, yeah.
That's also something that I don't see at a lot of these wide receivers, is a guy that will go back to the ball and fight for the ball. Most
work
of guys
through
are
the football.
There, yeah, most of these guys are just sitting there waiting for the ball just because they're that, the schools that they go to are that talented, they can wait for it. He goes to the ball, and I love that as well.
Yeah, he definitely attacks the football. He has great hands and was, you know, probably a top three guy in contested catches out of guys that I saw. I mean, physical at the point of attack when defenders are closing in doesn't really seem to bother him. But that is going to wrap things up for the first segment, because we still have seven more guys to talk about coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the show, breaking down late round wide receivers the Chargers could target. And for mine, I ended up using a Twitter poll and put four options out there, and the guys they decided to go with are the guys I'm going to be talking about. But when we're talking about later round guys, David, who was the first person you wanted to talk about?
So in the later rounds, I was looking for guys that can flat out fly, because I mean, that's an element that I think the Chargers need to add to their wide receiver group. So the guy I found was Quez Watkins out of Southern Miss. And this guy absolutely fits the bill. 6'2", 190, 4.35, 40. This guy, like I said, can absolutely burn. He excels in the deep patterns and the crosses. You get this guy in space and just watch him gallop, man. He can absolutely get the ball down the football field. He's electric in the open field. He also can go up and get it. You know, he's a pretty good, has a good vertical and was really good in that respect. He has some special teams ability because of how dynamic he is in the open field. Some of the things that concern me, I mean, he got suspended 2 games for academic issues, so we don't know if the mental game is all there. He definitely needs to get stronger. I think he gets a little scared in space. That's because he needs to add just a little bit more functional weight to his frame. He needs to add to the route tree, and he's just unproven against better competition. I mean, he went to a small school. I'd like to see what this guy can do with the big boys, but this guy can fly. I think he would be a great player to add, to take a chance on later on in the draft.
Yeah, I think if you did it, you would be taking a chance and saying, you know, this guy isn't a perfect wide receiver, and he might never be a fully complete wide receiver, but he is going to take one task as far as being a burner and take that as far as he can. And I think really the main thing with him is, at his build, if he goes up against press coverage, is he going to be able to get off the line consistently to beat people deep? Because you can be as fast as you want.
Trevon Diggs got jammed.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. And that's the thing that scares me, is, are you going to be able to do that? Not everyone is as physical. Trevon Diggs is one of the more physical press corners in this class, but at the next level, it's not going to get easier, right? So I think that's the biggest concern there, and just obviously being able to stay durable. John, who are you going with?
I went with a little special wide receiver who happens to be the all-time receiver at Ohio State, and that is KJ Hill. 201 receptions is the most all-time at Ohio State. Not Ted Ginn with that number, it's KJ Hill. This guy knows how to hide his route intention. So if, what you think he's going to do, he's probably not going to do it. When you're, when he's running his route, you're trying to read him, you think he's about to do his hook route, he's about to go deep, you cannot tell. He hides it really well. I read that on multiple, and I mean multiple draft websites.
Yeah, deception is definitely a big part of it.
Yeah, when I watched the film, I'm looking at it, I'm going, this guy, none of these corners are trying to break on his route. They cannot tell what he's doing. It fits really well. Mm-hmm. His route tree is just wide open. He can run just about anything. But one of the things I want to talk about is this guy didn't face much press coverage. If you watch a lot of the film, most guys are playing off on them because they're trying to make up for his speed and his get off. So what would happen if he was to play against someone that would jam him? What would happen? Would he be able to get off of that? Is he going to be good with the hands? That's the thing I need to see. That's really the big knock on him. There wasn't that many knocks on him in my mind.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he doesn't have great top-end speed, but the thing that I liked about him the most is just he just always seemed to get open. I mean, he's just a guy that would find space in zone coverage, found ways to be deceiving in his routes and sell them on, in the corners and manipulate them and not tell them where he's going. I thought that was, I mean, a really consistent part of his game. And I think consistency is just a big part of his game as well. I mean, he just consistent production all throughout college, and that school has been loaded with wide receivers. There could be three wide receivers that get drafted from Ohio State this year. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of competition that he went up against, and he consistently found a way to get targets in that offense, which is saying a lot. And I think if you want a slot guy that's going to be able to get open, especially get open quickly, if you know, given the press concerns, obviously that's something that, you know, will have to be addressed. But yeah, there's something to say about a guy that just always gets open, and that's a guy that a lot of teams could use. So I really like the consistency of KJ Hill, and I think in the right system he could be productive at the next level. But going to my first later round guys, like I said, I let you guys kind of decide on who I was going to go with. And the first one I wanted to talk about is Lynn Bowden Jr. And I went into it with very high expectations just because I've seen so many people talk about just how explosive this guy is, the kind of playmaker he is. And I agree with some of that. I mean, I don't necessarily think he's super explosive, but he definitely has big playability, and I mean, he has some joystick-like qualities with the ball in his hands. He can make people miss. He has some runs where you see like four or five different cuts, and he's making guys miss like that. But the hard part is you're seeing most of, you know, his production coming from when he was a quarterback, you know, and him having those angles of running quarterback draws. And I mean, he was good when he did it. He had 1,369 rushing yards in the SEC in 8 starts at quarterback. He actually led the SEC for the season in rushing yards. So the guy can do things with the ball in his hands. But some of the things that really concern me are, before the Belk Bowl this past season, he punched a guy before the game. I mean, that's definitely kind of a red flag. I mean, he played mostly quarterback in 2019, which definitely kind of stunted his development as a pure wide receiver. And basically, at the end of the day, I don't know if he's ever going to be good enough to be the Chargers' third receiver. But if you want to bring him as an experiment, as a gadget player, I would like the pick. I think there's definitely something to be said about that. But maybe a couple years down the line, he could be a good slot option, but he's not going to be the take the top off the defense guy necessarily, even though he has decent speed. He didn't end up running the 40, so we don't know what his official time would have been. But that's my biggest thing, is I think he could be a good weapon in the league. I'm not doubting that part of it at all. It's just, can he be the Chargers' third wide receiver consistently? I'm not sure that I see that. But as far as an X factor, a weapon goes, I liked what I saw out of him. But let's get to the next couple of guys. David, who did you go with your second late round pick?
So for my second late round pick, I was looking for kind of a sleeper type of guy. So that led me to Darryl Mooney out of Tulane. Darryl Mooney is 5'10", very kind of small. He's 176 pounds, but he brings blazing speed with him, 4.38 40 type of speed. In 2018, he averaged 20.7 yards per catch. That is absolutely insane. Some of the things I really liked: his variety off the line, which he needs because he is a smaller type of guy. He's feisty. You know, this is a guy that's not afraid of contact, unlike Travis Benjamin, he actually doesn't mind mixing it up. He has crazy straight line speed, like I mentioned. And also, this guy can jump out the building. For 5'10", he is a 37-inch vertical leap. So, and also, I just really loved, I read an article off the Draft Network, and they asked him, what are three things that you choose to describe yourself? And he said, honest, hardworking, and dependable. That's definitely all things that I like, and I know the Chargers are high on character, so they're going to love that too. But like Travis Benjamin as well, he is just too small. He needs to put weight on. He is an injury risk because of that. He needs to work on his route running, and there's some drop issues that he needs to eliminate. And also something that was a little just concerning is his production slipped. His yards and his touchdowns slipped with the same amount of catches. So that's definitely not something you like. But overall, if you tell this guy to go up and get the ball, he can definitely do that.
Yeah, and I actually liked his tape more than I liked Quez Watkins. I think he brings a little bit more nuance to the position as an actual wide receiver. And the biggest thing I thought was just him being able to get off the line of press coverage against, you know, bigger defenders. And that didn't seem to bother him. And we saw that bother a lot of other guys in this draft class. So that was something I was really impressed by. As far as an overall receiver, I think he's probably better than Quez Watkins is at this point. But I would actually like this. I would like Darnell Mooney as like a sixth round pick, maybe a seventh round pick. I'll actually like that pick a lot. And I think he brings more to the table. Like you said, he can make contested catches. He can make jump ball catches. He has blazing speed, and he can also get off of press coverage. The polish and the routes and stuff like that, those are things that I'm willing to potentially try to work on for the big time weapons that this guy possesses as far as his physical attributes and the way that he can impact games. So
yeah,
I definitely like
Keenan Allen, man.
And if you watch his film against Auburn, he only had like 3 catches for 48 yards, but his route running and his separation was really good. The quarterback just could not get him the ball, but he ran really good against Auburn.
Well, and I think a lot of people would look at that game and be like, this guy can't play against big competition, but the times he did play against good competition, for the most part, he had pretty good games as far as at least what I saw from him. So that's definitely a guy that intrigues me as a later round guy. I mean, I saw someone say too that he's just the most underappreciated wide receiver in this class potentially. And John, I know for your next guy, you had some promise. You saw him in person, thought he could be pretty good, and then you went and watched his tape and didn't really see what all the fuss was about.
Yeah, I got to see Cody White play in the Holiday Bowl when Michigan State came and played against Washington State. And I remembered that name when I was looking through some guys to scout, and I was like, well, let's take a look at him, see if he could be a potential player for the Chargers. He played pretty good in the Holiday Bowl. And then I go and I look, and at first what I saw was what I expected, some guy with good size that can run routes pretty well, can find space pretty well, can catch in traffic, is pretty sure-handed when it comes to catching in traffic. But when you really break it down, this guy is not that good. He cannot get off of press coverage at all. He doesn't run after the catch. Once he catches the ball, unless he ran a deep route and caught the ball in stride, he's not going to have run after the catch at all. And then even though he can catch in traffic really well, he can lose focus while running in traffic. So if the ball's not even thrown yet, if he's trying to run his route with guys around him, he gets lost sometimes. But if it's a zone coverage, he'll fit right in the middle of that zone. But if it's man coverage and there's two guys crossing, he gets lost. It's pretty ridiculous. But the press coverage is just blew my mind. He could not get off of press coverage. He played against Ohio State, and he could not get away from one guy. There was one guy that covered him the whole game.
Yeah, Damon Arnett.
He could not get away from him. It was embarrassing. So this guy, for me, is an absolute no.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of better options available. He did have 14 touchdowns, which is not something that you can ignore. Definitely a red zone threat, but I definitely think there's better options. David, you had a special request from superfan Zach to watch some Tyree Cleveland from Florida wide receiver there film. What did you take away?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a little more of a close to home pick for Zach, because he put on the tape, this guy did not do very much at all. I mean, he did not have more than 25 catches in any season in the 4 years that he was at Florida. He is good in space. He's definitely hard to bring down when he gets ahead of steam, but just not a lot of production, and also drops was a problem. And also, he got in trouble for something stupid. As a freshman, he got in trouble for shooting BB guns, and he caused almost $1,000 in damage. So just not smart, not productive. His tape is not impressive.
Yeah, that gun into a residential hall on the campus of the college.
Idiot. If you're going to be taking on some, you know, off the field concerns or red flags, even though that doesn't seem like it's like the most malicious thing, right? I mean, he didn't go and, you know, fight somebody or beat somebody up or have any like violent crimes or anything like that. You better be really good if teams are going to take on the knucklehead persona as well. So I definitely would agree with you that that's a concern for me as well. So the last guy, I put it out there, I wanted you guys to tell me who to watch. The last one I talked about was Lim Bowden Jr. And the next guy I wanted to get into has, you know, maybe the best hands in all of college football, and that's Isaiah Hodges, the wide receiver from Oregon State. He has really good size, 6'4", I think around 220 overall, but he's not very fast. He's not going to be that burner guy, so he's not going to fill that role for the Chargers. But I thought he has some nice deception. We talked about deception with KJ Hill. That's how he wins his routes, is with deception, because he's not the most athletically gifted guy. But throw anything in this guy's vicinity, and he's going to catch it. I mean, crazy catches away from his body. I mean, body contortionist catches around the end zone and along the sideline. I mean, this guy literally just caught everything. I mean, he can play really good against off coverage because he's not very good against press coverage. And as a route runner, he's pretty polished. He's not super sudden. He doesn't have a lot of burst out of his breaks, but he is a decent route runner, I would say, as far as the guys that I watched. The cons are he's not an explosive player. He's not super sudden out of his breaks. He's not very physical, and he has a very slight build like some of the other guys, and that could potentially be an issue. And he's just not a guy that's going to get open quickly. He's going to have to work into his routes to get open, especially in the intermediate area, because he doesn't have a great burst off the line. So as far as a guy that, you know, is probably not going to cost very much and is going to catch everything in his sight, I mean, there definitely are worse options. As far as how he fits for the Chargers, I don't necessarily see it as much as I wanted to, but definitely a guy out there that I think, you know, is a little bit overlooked, and you can get over some of the athletic qualities you're not getting from him just because he literally catches everything. He doesn't get a lot of separation, but you don't need a lot of separation if you're just going to catch the ball wherever it is thrown. So I liked Isaiah Hodges.
I like this guy for your, basically, if you need a third and three to be converted, he's that guy that can just go run a quick 5-yard route, turn around, even though there's a guy on his back, he catches it real quick. Like, he's that sure-handed security blanket, basically. He's not going to be
your
highlight
play. If they're not pressing him.
He's not going to be your highlight play or anything. If you can get him to a spot, with even if there's a guy on him, he'll catch the ball. And you can maneuver a guy into space, like a crossing route can get him open real quick. And even if there's a guy that's going to come hit him as he catches the ball, he's going to catch it. You're right. If he gets jammed, he's probably not going to get off the line, but you can maneuver that guy open and you'll get your third down conversion with this guy, but you're not going to get a 50-yard touchdown out of him.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting the 50-yard touchdown. That's, you know, what I struggle with, is just finding the role I could envision him in the Chargers offense. And you're going to need guys who can get open quickly. You have Keenan Allen, who gets off the line, you know, better than almost any receiver in the league, and Mike Williams struggles with it, but that's the big thing. I mean, if he's covered, and I mean, you need a first down, you can still throw it his way, but are you going to be able to throw it quickly enough if somebody's trying to jam him off the line of scrimmage without you having to move him around all over the place? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can use things, but I don't know if the Chargers are going to do that, like, if with him necessarily, even though I could see that, you know, that's definitely a strength that he possesses. Just would the Chargers be able to use him right? I'm not sure. But that is going to wrap things up for the wide receiver show. Obviously, there's some guys we didn't get into, but that's just because, hey, we have 30 minutes, really 20 minutes after the news. But definitely an extended episode for you guys. I hope you really enjoyed the coverage. We're going to have much more for you up until the draft. But on tomorrow's show, we're going to have the one and only Jamie Hoyle from the Lightning Round podcast coming on to talk about, you know, maybe some free agency, some draft stuff. We're super excited to talk to him. So make sure you tune back in for tomorrow's show for that. And I'm excited to hear what he has to say about this draft class. But until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you want to get in on the voicemails, even though we haven't really been doing any voicemails, the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. So big guest for tomorrow's show, guys. You're going to make sure you want to tune into that. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.